Hello, AfterBuzzers. Welcome to the first ever Cults and Extreme Beliefs After Show. Today, we're going to be talking about one of the most highly publicized cults in recent history, NXIVM. How did this organization lure in so many young women? And how was Smallville actress Allison Mack involved? We'll discuss all of this and more coming right up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh man, this was like a heavy thing to watch.
It was so heavy. It was so sad, but yet so good.
Yeah,
and it's just twisted.
It's so interesting, but also just so depressing. Like, I can't even imagine what any of these people were going through.
I can't either. I just have so many questions.
Me too. What is up, you guys? I'm your host, Taylor Gates, and I'm joined by a lovely panelist tonight.
Hey, Taylor. What's up, guys? My name is Juliet, and I'm excited to talk about this.
I am too. What were your overall thoughts? Because this is like the pilot episode. This is the first ever thing that they've covered. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the show kind of in general, just starting out?
I really liked it, and I think in terms of storytelling, they did such a great job, and they answered all the questions I had throughout, and the way they were going back and forth in time. It was just really, really well done. Another thing that I loved is the fact that they used these three different women to tell the story, and you have the scholarly approach with this elderly woman who knows a lot about cults and the whole story, what goes on there. Mm-hmm. Then you have a journalist who kind of speaks as the audience's voice and asking all the questions as a complete outsider. And then you have the survivor who's just telling it all, and they're bouncing off of each other, and they're with that conversation, it helped me understand way more.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I liked all the different perspectives because it brought out like a lot of different sides and a lot of different approaches to it. Honestly, though, I feel like I'm so interested in it now. I could have like a whole series just dedicated to this one. And I feel like I'm going to feel that way for all of the different episodes.
Very true.
We were saying like we're big fans of the Leah Remini Scientology show, which obviously just focuses on Scientology. So now I'm like, make a NXIVM one. Like, I want to know, I want to hear from other people too.
I know. It's so crazy how you go in the down the rabbit hole. Just Google NXIVM, and there's so many interviews, so many different statements, so many just videos, and even on top of the actual facts that are coming out about the cults, prior to that, they're putting out so much content that it's supposedly self-help.
Yeah.
So listening to that now with the information that we have is just so strange.
Yeah.
Because some of it makes sense and some of it is just does not at all.
Like red flags, like going back, you're like, oh gosh, like we should have known, but like, how could you have?
Exactly.
Had you heard of NXIVM before like the Allison Mack scandal of it broke?
No, I had not. And what I thought was so interesting about this show is that they were talking about something that's so recent. She was arrested in April of this year.
I was impressed by that. That's a quick turnaround for A&E to like have produced this documentary already.
It really is. And in terms of the layout, I tried to find this and I couldn't. So everybody in the live chat, if you have this answer, please let us know. I suspect that in terms of the layout of the episodes, this wasn't the first one they were going to put out.
I agree, but I think they wanted to hook people and they're like, oh, this has been in the news so much.
Like they would be stupid not to.
Exactly. Well, it was definitely a good entry way into, I think, what this whole thing's going to be about. Let's start off by talking about Mark Vicente, because he's kind of he's not the first person we meet in the episode, but he's kind of the one that, I don't know, kind of started it all for the like lead interviewee.
Right. He introduced, he was her friend who introduced her to this whole world.
Yes. And he works kind of on the, I guess, used to work on the kind of publicity side of things, I guess, because like they said, he tried to make Keith, the founder, the head of it, look more normal in videos. What did you kind of think about that? And how did you interpret when they said that?
I thought that was so strange. Well, I thought it was interesting that you obviously, when it comes to any kind of powerful figure who's this leader, the fact that he has like a PR team and they're just doing these videos and there's a lot of production behind it,
yeah,
it is to appeal to the masses. But what I thought was so interesting, like you're saying, is that he saying, I'm trying to make him look more normal. And my question, I didn't fully understand, did he think that at the time? Was that subconscious? And he was like, wait, I need to make him look normal. Was something that was told to him? Is it something that he now realizes with all the information that he now knows? So, yeah, I didn't fully understand where he was going with that because there's so many interpretations.
I didn't either. I do know that appearances are like very, very big for this cult especially. I mean, mm-hmm. we'll get into more of that a little bit later, but like they all wanted to show like really happy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Beautiful people. And so maybe that was part of it. Like maybe he was sort of awkward and he had to kind of edit so he didn't look awkward to kind of get right. people to trust him, you know, get them to kind of sign on. That's kind of, I guess, how I figured he meant. But I thought that was a really weird kind of statement.
Right. I thought it was really weird too. But I thought what was really interesting is right after that, they talk about how his body language.
Yeah.
And he was like, they're showing a picture of him holding his hands up and in an open matter.
Yeah.
And he would talk a lot with a lot of hand movements. And I thought, and they were saying that it's because it makes you seem more approachable and calm. I'm not weird.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm talking with my hands.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just really poignant for them to point that out.
I agree. That's another like thing why I like the cult expert, because she knows all of these little nuances. And so just seeing that exposed is so interesting. And so in addition to that, he was also like a film festival judge, which is how he met Sarah. And apparently he was very like convincing and kind of convinced her to come into the cult. And she was there for 12 years and she only left 6 months ago, which I thought was pretty recent that this all, I feel like, was she maybe like the first-ish one to leave or the first one to speak out? Is that the impression you got?
She's not the first one to speak out, but she is at least one of the first ones to have such a high rank mm-hmm. to speak out so much and so publicly. And prior to this show, you know, doing a bunch of interviews, really being hands-on in terms of the prosecution, she at least is the first big voice that we're hearing expose these wounds.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. And she was kind of based in Canada along with Mark. And so how she got kind of indoctrinated is you go on this sort of retreat that's like 5 days of super intense, like 14-hour days of therapy. And she kind of shared her story saying that she was sort of skeptical the first 3 days and then the first three days and then after that she was like all in. Do you think that like those therapy sessions are just like psychologically breaking down her barriers?
Definitely. And I think she even explained that a little bit about how they kept on prefacing saying that, you know, if you feel uncomfortable, it's because it's working. If you're feeling like something's not right, just come talk to us. We're really open. There's coaches. They're here to talk to you through this process. And I think that's when the delusion happens, because you're like, oh, wait, no, they're doing all this. It's normal I'm feeling this way. They're telling me it's normal I feel this way. Okay, I have to trust these people because they have my best interests at heart.
And if they're giving you like resources, they're like, oh, if you feel bad, just raise your hand and talk to this person. I feel like if people give you a way out, then you like trust them. You're like, oh, well, if they're telling me I can do this and I don't just have to obey, you know, blindly, then I can trust them. And so I thought that was a really smart, like, manipulative move, definitely. And then so she and Mark set up, I guess, like a full-time, like a studio almost, or a school. Mm-hmm. And so they had 240 full-time students up in Vancouver. But it's not like a full-time thing, right? You just kind of go there at night or something?
Yes, it's not you. People have jobs outside of this. It's just this community they're part of. But yeah, I think that's why she holds so much guilt, because in her time, she recruited over 2,000 members.
Yeah. That's a crazy number.
So many people's lives are affected. And then that's their families being affected and the people there know and their family and friends. And also a lot of money. I think that was something that was really sad to me too. It's just that on average, they're saying people pay from $300 to $10,000.
That's what also reminded me of like the Scientology thing, is because you just pay insane amounts to this organization. And it's not actually bettering anyone. It's just going to like the greedy, like corrupt leaders of it.
Exactly. And think about it. They're taking away so much. They're taking people, in a way, their free will without them knowing.
Yeah.
You're brainwashing people. You're taking away that free will from them. And on top of it, you know, money, yes, is just a number sometimes, but these are young. A lot of these people were young, and that's money that they could have used to just set up their life and put towards their dreams and their goals and the aspiration that's completely wiped away.
And it makes them kind of dependent in some ways. If you don't have the financial means, you're going to lean on the people that you think that you trust.
Exactly. Well, the character, the woman, I believe her name, Jen, who was her little protege.
Yeah.
She was saying that. She was like, I put all my savings in and I found a way and I got into credit card debt and all this stuff. And it's just like, wow, you're just banking it all.
Yeah. They talked a little bit about like the recruiting culture of it. I didn't get 100% how they recruited. Did they go out and just try to make like personal connections with people? Was it more pamphlets? Do you know exactly how they recruited?
I think it was more word to mouth.
Okay.
It was word to mouth. And so she would go out and have meet women in different gatherings of some sort. And she became, I guess, like some kind of agent in a way.
And she was very charismatic. She talked about that because she's like an actress, so she has to be outgoing. So she's very good at talking to people, which makes her probably a really good like salesperson in a way, because it is, you know, at the end of the day, sort of a business.
Well, yeah, it is a business. And she was a great salesperson because she became one of the top recruiters they had.
Yeah.
Which is insane. So she's just really good at her job, unfortunately.
Honestly. And so let's talk about kind of the main figure in this whole thing, Keith Raniere. He was the leader and he told everyone to call him Vanguard. It was like this whole dictatorship, almost monarchy sort of situation. And so I'm assuming they told a lot of lies because they're like, they told everyone that he had a 240 IQ. He was a concert pianist, had like 40 degrees. And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way.
Right. He's put on such a high pedestal as this incredibly smart man, incredibly successful person. I think to be idolized in that way. Like, oh, wow, if this man's accomplished so much, I must listen to him.
Yeah. They're just like spreading all of this like totally fake propaganda. It's super misleading. But I understand if people told me that, I'd be like, oh, wow, he's super smart. Like, I would listen to him too, probably, with, you know, credentials like that. I'm surprised that no one, like, just Googled it and disproved that, though. But I guess if he like put so much information out there, you probably can't find the real truth of it.
I think so too. I think it's really easy. And I think at the end of the day, as much as he was put out to be this huge leader, I think people did worship him in a lot of ways, but it was more so about what he was saying. And I think no one was trying to look too much into his past.
Yeah, that's true. It just kind of helped bolster his credibility and stuff like that. And so one thing that I found super disturbing that kind of came back later in the episode was when Mark got sent the decapitation video and he told Keith about it and he was like, I don't want you to watch it. I don't want anyone to have to see this. And Keith watched it and instead of being, you know, horrified like a normal person would, he started like trying to think about what it was like for each of the like executioners in that video. And I thought that was just so chilling and telling of his character.
Right. And he's able to... Mark was saying that he was so impressed that he was so disconnected and he was able to see different points of views. I get what he's saying by that. I think it is a good quality to be able to have empathy and try to figure out different point of views. But when it comes to this, the fact that you've obviously watched this video in so many details and have so many theories of it, it's like, why would you want to theorize over this video?
Yeah. And in a way, it is sort of empathetic, but it's also like he has no empathy at all because he didn't think about the victims. It was all about the people doing like this horrible thing, which I thought was just crazy. I thought that was a crazy story. And I thought it was especially insane that it tied back in later.
Right. That was such that you just circled back in. I think that was crazy. And that video, I think it just that he it's just such violence. And you have to think the people doing these crazy violent acts, they must go through some kind of brainwashing. They must, you know, have to disconnect from their humanity in a way. So I think that's what he was attracted to.
Oh, it's just so gross and so crazy. Well, none of the people at NXIVM are going to give you good advice. So let's tell people where they can get some good advice.
That's very true. If you want to learn, grow, and have fun in all areas of your life, we have the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. It's for free. Just go to iTunes and subscribe. And when you're there, make sure to leave a comment in the comment section below. And let Maria know that us, the Cults and Extreme Belief after show for AfterBuzz TV panel brought you there and told you about this amazing show, because after you watch us, maybe you'll want something a little bit more uplifting. It's going to help your life in a non-culty way, and that is Maria. So yeah, just go to iTunes, subscribe, leave that comment, like I mentioned, Conversations with Maria Menounos. For free. Check it out.
Awesome. That is really the perfect pairing. You'll learn a lot but get a little bit down when you watch this, and then you'll need something to lift you back up.
Right. There's perfect. Not all just evil and crazy darkness out in the world. We no. swear.
There's good people that do want to actually empower women.
And there is good self-help. I think that was, for me, the most chilling thing about the whole thing is that they were kept on saying that this was always introduced as self-help, but for someone who I really enjoy self-help a lot, as many people do, it's such a fine line. It's like, oh my gosh, how can you just go into something thinking you're really bettering your life and having a conversation about existentialism and all these things, and then you're actually part of a cult? So
yeah,
that was the most chilling part for me.
I agree, and that like goes right into my next point, which is like how they marketed the whole thing. So they talked a lot of like that we said earlier about how they only wanted like these young, beautiful women to be like, you know, their poster children, which right off the bat, if it, you're only wanting to attract like a certain kind of person, it's not legit. Like, it's not for the right reasons, of course.
Yes, of course. It's marketing 101. And I think it's also something we saw in the Leanne Remini Scientology for A&E was that they always were seeking out celebrities.
Yeah.
Because it has that dazzle factor. And when you have Allison Mack, who's just a young starlet that's on one of the top shows, Somerville, that most of our generation has seen or at least heard about, there's a lot of factor there. So she held a lot of power.
Absolutely. We had Allison Mack. They also had, like, the Dalai Lama.
Which was the craziest part of it all.
That's a whole nother side of the spectrum, a whole nother crowd that you're getting besides, you know, the Allison Mack crowd, which... it's just insane that they managed to even trick the Dalai Lama here.
Exactly. It's crazy how good at being bad people can be.
Honestly.
And faking it.
And another thing was their propaganda. Like, Keith would release these one-on-one interviews on YouTube to show the public, like, you know, how great we are. And not to keep bringing up Scientology, but they have their own TV network now. And it seems like this is kind of following in their footsteps a little bit with those YouTube interviews, which Vicente also helped produce. So, you know, again, on the publicity side there.
Right. And it just opens to the public. And you, everybody listening or watching on YouTube, you can just Google those. You can see those videos. And please go watch them and leave us a comment and tell us your thoughts on them, because I have my theories and it's just really weird. Because some of it makes sense, like I said, and some of it just doesn't. And with the information that we have, it's just so detached and it's just so, so strange. So please go leave us a comment about that. The videos are still up. They have pretty high views, especially considering everything that's going on. And they're actually up on their channel, on the NXIVM and Keith's official channel.
Oh, wow.
Allison's official channel. The comments are disabled on a lot of them as well, which I thought was disappointing because I was hoping to hear, just learn more and have a banter.
I'm sure they're getting so much hate.
Exactly. And I feel like maybe they even never put them on. Who knows? So because we can't have a conversation in there, again, please go back, go to our YouTube and start the conversation there. And if not, also go to our iTunes and leave us a comment there as well, because we're both checking in both places.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely want to watch like that source material after watching this. I'm so curious. I want to put the like pieces together, and
it's just such a crazy story. And I think we're going to see this throughout the show. It's just you fall into a rabbit hole. I'm telling you, researching this for the show and pulling news and figuring all this out, I just was staring at my computer for way longer than I thought, because it's just, you're like, what, this can't be, and you're just one thing after the other. It's just such a crazy story.
Yeah, well, let's get into the sort of rules and rituals. So obviously they paid thousands and thousands of dollars for these courses and these workshops. They also had strange rules, like they had to take their shoes off at the door. They had a hierarchy, and they got sashes, and they compared it to like martial arts, like karate belts, which I thought was really interesting. And I had never really heard of anything like that, because that seems really harmless, but it's not. You know what I mean?
Right. I do know what you mean. And I think just the fact that there's a ranking, it wants people always wanting more. They're like, oh, I need to invest more so I can get a higher ranking and just be a better version of myself. We saw this again with Scientology. They have the different ranks, and you have to pass different ranks and just in order to be at a higher level of life and live a more fulfilled life. And I wonder, I feel like it's a it's a theme that we're going to be seeing throughout. That I wouldn't be surprised in the next few episodes if they have some kind of different system, maybe not with sashes, but with pins or something else.
Yeah, well, it makes sense because you're having to like wear it on your body so everyone can see what level you're at. And that not only creates a sense of competition like within yourself, but I think it creates this competitive environment with other people. Like, as much as we hate to admit it, like, everyone kind of does that, like, compares themselves to other people. So that could definitely, like... Right. It's a marketing tool. It really is.
It is. And everybody, and I think that's also what about this whole recruitment process, everybody wants to be in. Everybody, whether they want to admit it or not, love the idea of just being special and being part of a special community with a special sash around you is really appealing to most.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And another way that they kind of recruited these young women, especially, was by the offshoot program called Jeunesse. And that was basically like a women's workshop. And they mentioned that they brought in kind of what the ideal woman is supposed to be and kind of ingrained it into their minds that they need to be monogamous, they need to be obedient, which I thought was super surprising considering the kind of the whole basis of this cult, I thought, was women's empowerment. So I was really confused. That felt like such a contradiction to me.
It was, but I think it happens, as they explained, so slowly and in such a manipulative way that they're appealing to people using their own beliefs. And they're like, okay, I know you, Taylor, really believe in women empowerment. You have these values that you think that we should just all, it's nice to network and get together and uplift each other. So I'm going to appeal to that and we'll peel the layers and you'll get to talk about that. And little by little, I'm going to be giving you these nuggets that make you think that you are in agreement, but you're not. And she was, thought it was so interesting that she was talking about how they're slowly being stripped away from their beliefs and being given new beliefs.
Yeah, it's like a complete brainwashing. Complete. You're here to like become a stronger version of yourself, but also like be subservient. It's just insane how they managed to twist something.
Right.
A complete 180, essentially.
Exactly, because they're telling everybody wants to be the best version of themselves. Mm-hmm. Everybody seeks that. And especially these women who are going to these meetings, they're like, okay, this is what I'm going to get. And I think they're just believing whatever they're being told. And what I thought that was the most chilling part, honestly, probably of the whole episode, was when she was explaining this part and she was saying at the end of it, she was like, yeah, I need to be more obedient. I need to be more obedient to be the better version of myself.
Just insane. And kind of going off of that, the other offshoot that they had was called DOS. And that is when things, I think, just kind of stepped up to a whole new level is when she started talking about that. So DOS basically means like master over slaves. I know that they had an exact like translation of it, but that's what it meant all around. And so a girl named Lauren ended up recruiting Sarah and pitched it as, like we were talking about, a badass bitch boot camp is what she pitched it as. And just hearing her talk about what DOS is and kind of the rules that they had there, I thought was insanity. Like, you kind of had masters when you were first starting out there and you had to respond to them within 60 seconds if you were texted, no matter what time of
day or night. It's insane.
4 o'clock in the morning. If you don't respond in 60 seconds, I'd be like checking that my phone is on the highest volume at all times because that's so unreasonable. Nervous. That's just absolutely crazy. And the consequences for not responding were medieval, basically, and like almost childish, like reverting you back to a slave, but also to like to when you were a child. Like there was like paddling, putting people into cages. What did you like kind of think about just those torture methods, essentially?
I think they were so... That's for me when it got really graphic. And we're talking about physical violence with paddles. We're talking about being naked and being abused and filming ourselves and sending that to people. And just that's when it got really real to me. And I was like, whoa, okay, now we're really getting into it. DOS is an acronym for the Latin phrase roughly meaning Lord/master of obedient female companions.
Oh, female companions. I didn't realize that distinction, but that makes a lot of sense, putting that into it. Yeah, it was just so degrading. And especially the fact that they're sending these videos to like the higher ups and they're circulating these videos of these just humiliating...
Pornographic. Like, yes. Let's be honest, like pornographic footage. of a crazy fetish.
Right.
It's just so chilling. And I think also this idea of we're all in this together, sisterhood. They even said that they were pitching it as like badass bitches. Like,
yeah. And I read online, I kind of did a little bit of research, and they pitched it as like a sorority, mm-hmm. which, what? That's, but it, I mean, it makes sense to pitch it that way because, like you said, everyone wants to belong to something. Awesome. Group of, you know, strong ladies, but not at all what it actually is.
I know.
And the way that they got them to do this was a method they called collateralizing your life, which was also just, this whole thing was just, like, absurd, I thought. And so she kind of explained to it with the example of, like, you want to make yourself go to the gym, and if you don't go to the gym, you're going to agree to pay someone $100. And then the kind of repercussions of that just kept getting worse. You'd have to take cold showers for a month. You'd have to sleep on the floor. Mm-hmm. Had you ever heard of this phrase before this? Like, collateralizing your life?
I didn't know about collateral. I mean, just knew about collateral in terms of just finances.
Right.
But end of your life? No, I didn't know of it. But can I tell you, it made me realize how easy it is to fall in this trap. Because as she's explaining this, she's like, okay, say the gym. As you're saying, she's going through this. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I should do this. Like, I was thinking, that's a smart notion. Like, what can I do to go to the gym more? That's how it starts. Because when you take out, obviously, we're talking about naked women having to physically abuse each other and film that, wow, that's really graphic. But to get to that place, there's a gym analogy, and it's slowly built from that, and you start giving in because you're like, oh wait, that's actually kind of smart.
Yeah.
So that really chilled me because I was like, oh wow, that's how they do
you.
It.
Mm-hmm. It made sense to me too, which is so scary to find yourself being like, yeah. And then just when it gets progressively worse, you're like, okay, pump the brakes on this a little bit.
Right, because she was saying when it comes to making the decision and in the moment, you're going to say yes because the thought of the pain of not doing it is just too grand.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow, just, ugh.
And so this cult took that absolutely to the extreme, and they got a bunch of basically blackmail that they could use if she ever tried to speak out or if she ever tried to leave, including nude photos, letters detailing all of her indiscretions, and a video talking bad about her family and friends, which, just the spectrum of those three things in particular, like, I think it just shows how much control they had over every single aspect. Like, the nude photo is, you know, her career as an actress and her, you know, reputation, and just, like, the humiliation of having that leaked.
Right.
And then also targeting your friends and family and, like, saying these hurtful things about them. That was such, again, a great manipulation tool, because you don't ever want to hurt your friends and family.
Exactly. I know, it's terrible. And then, you know, you could argue, well, nowadays everybody has a nude photo, so that's not really huge collateral.
Yeah.
Her family, if they really know her and really love her, they'll understand. But yet, when you're in this world, it's so hard to think rationally.
Yeah.
Because you're stripped away little by little, layer by layer, of all your free will, your thoughts, your ability to make sane decisions.
Right. That's so true. And another big thing that they used this collateralization of their lives for was the branding, which took up a lot, like the core of the story, I guess, because this is kind of the first thing I heard ever about this cult was about the branding that actually took place at Allison Mack's house. Which, what was her ranking? Did we get a specific ranking of her?
We didn't get a specific title, but we know that she was his right-hand woman. She was number two, and just always just by his side. And just, I think she also, in terms of Janice, had a huge role. And she was one of the big leaders for that, especially for that wing.
Gotcha, that makes sense. So the branding, they basically said, was to build your capacity to experience pain. And she kind of talked about the misconceptions people have of branding, which I had all of these misconceptions.
Me too.
She's like, people just think it's a stamp and you have to hold it down for like 2 minutes. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of what I, you know, thought it was. You had to lay on this table for 40 to 45 minutes while people drew in the symbols with this hot iron. What?
That was so chilling. I was at first I was going to pull pictures and I was like, no, know what? Our YouTube lovely viewers, you've already seen too much. I thought saw more than I bargained for. Yet it was very important to tell this story. Just, it's important to tell these graphic stories so they, we know to get ahead of them and they won't happen. Same thing. I thought it was just a stamp. Still, the fact that they have to draw it at 40 minutes seems like so long.
I know.
I don't know how much... I don't know if they have to go through it, if to go over the symbol a bunch of times, yeah, or if making a small patch or just a small inch takes a lot of time. I know they were mentioning that the women were holding each other down because they were in so much pain and they're squeaking. So perhaps that's also one of the reasons, because they have to fight them off.
Yeah.
But she also said that she tried to stay as still as she could. So I'm still confused at why it would take that long. But you know what? That's I believe her.
That is so much time to be just like in that excruciating amount of pain. And I imagine after that, you're like somewhat delirious. Just like that high intensity just probably sends you to this other place. Because to even cope with that, you probably have to go to like sort of another place in your mind.
Right. She was saying that she prepped herself and she was just laying there and she's like, I'm not going to move. We're going to get through this. Females are, they were told, as they were told in this cult, that females are likely to give up. They're likely to procrastinate, not follow through. Women have no follow through. And so in a way to exceed in becoming a better version of yourself, you have to push yourself and do things you want. And this was one of them. And the craziest thing is that after such a painful experience, you would think she's like, okay, I'm done. I'm out. No.
She feels this sense of pride and this camaraderie with all the women who have went through it together, which that made a lot of sense to me, because like trauma does like bind people together. Like I know trauma bonding is like an actual thing that happens when people either experience something horrible together or talk about horrible things they've gone through together. And so again, that made sense to me. And so the actual brand had Keith's initials and Allison's initials. It was like kind of a K and an R and like an A and an M when it was on different sides. Yes. Which, wow. Did you see that right away, or did you have to have someone point it out? Because no, I didn't see it right away.
I just saw a symbol because it looked like a weird design. But as soon as they pointed out, it's very noticeable.
Yeah.
And she was even saying that that's what really tilted. She was like, wow, I have his name branded on me. And it was chilling when she's telling this story, is that she's forever gonna have that. It's such a crazy scar. There's nothing you can do to get rid of that.
Oh.
You can get some type of surgery to get it maybe a little lessened, but it will always be
It'll always be there.
Always.
Oh my gosh. And so kind of fast forwarding just a little bit. So they were kind of trying, they meaning Keith and, you know, his team, were trying to make it so like Keith had nothing to do with this branding, had nothing to do with this DOS organization, and it was just a complete separate thing. And but they figured out later that Sarah was holding this phone while she was being branded to kind of videotape her experience. And while she was doing that, a text popped up from Keith asking how it was going. I thought that was kind of a crazy turn to the story, almost like a cinematic turn, like the fact that that text just happened to pop up and happened to be there. And I thought it was really smart that she is, you know, talking about that. Even if it's not evidence, it's like definitely backs up her story.
Yes.
And the fact that they had to hold the phone while this was happening. Like you're already asking them to get branded. They have to hold the phone too. That's just insanity to me. Guys, if you want to make sure that you see this every week, we are going to be doing probably another show because the second episode aired tonight. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing that later this week. Make sure to follow the YouTube page. It's the reality page. And make sure to follow us on iTunes as well so you can get updated on all of, you know, whenever we upload new shows so you can stay in tune to what's happening in the cult world, I suppose.
Right.
And so let's talk a little bit about the aftermath of that branding, because like we said, that was the sort of tipping point for us, and it was also the tipping point for Sarah. She told Mark about the branding, and I was like so happy that he was so horrified, because like with the Scientology show, sometimes we had people still staying even after they're telling these crazy stories. And the fact that he was so horrified of it right away, and her husband, who she also met with this cult, was also horrified and took her and her child away from it, like right away. I was surprised that her husband was in this. Were you surprised about that?
Yes, I was surprised, just like you, that it was, in a, for lack of a better term, it was so easy. There was no convincing. She just told the story and they believed her right away. So, which I thought was so great. Like, oh, thankfully she has that support, because there's nothing worse than victims that have to just go about this alone with no finances, no support system, no nothing. So I thought that was really great. And it made me think, okay, we've heard a lot about how what the women have to endure. And I wonder what it was like for these men, because this seemed to be really heavily geared towards women. And perhaps that's why they weren't as ingrained into it. Maybe because it was catered to them, but not at such a strong extent. So I thought that was, yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
I know. I also kind of want a male perspective too. That's why I want like a series about this, or at least like a two-parter, because it was so geared towards women. Like, what did the men do? Like, were they sort of the heads of all of this? Were they automatically sort of like the masters because they were male, do you think?
Well, it seems logical, because they were saying that the women were taught to think that, you know, that they have to obey, and the men are the masters, so that they must have had the counterpart, and they must have heard that. But again, it doesn't seem like they were targeted as heavily.
Right.
So,
yeah, I'm really curious about that too. And kind of speaking of just the sex differences, with Keith was having sex with like dozens and dozens of women.
They were saying even 30, up to 30, and just constantly. And some of the pictures they were showing, I thought it was so chilling. They were saying that they were pitching this as a way to be, to attain a higher power by having sex with the godlike person that is Keith. You are extending your spirituality. You're uplifting yourself as a human being. You're just exceeding the highest power of all.
Yeah.
Sickening.
Yeah, like they were touching on the spiritual part of it, not even just like improvement in your everyday life, but they were, yeah, marketing as a spiritual experience. And saying,
he would transfer godlike qualities to you. If you were to have sex with him, he would transfer godlike qualities.
And I really liked what Sarah said about how that was just such an abuse of power. Like, he was just completely taking these people that wanted to learn and be his students and just exposing them. And, like, that's statutory rape at the least. Or not statutory, but you know what I mean? It's like,
and it's an abuse of power. She was like, it's inappropriate to be sleeping with multiple coworkers in any type of work environment, society, whatever you want to call it, and then sleeping on top of it with their students and your own students and just basically everybody. She used the word inappropriate, and I'm using the word sickening.
Yes, I agree. Both of those things for sure. Another super, super inappropriate and sickening thing, this time more on like the medical ethics board, was the fright experiment that they talked about. And the main person that testified to this was Jennifer Cobalt, who you said earlier was sort of Sarah's protege. And so she trusted this doctor as a friend and as a doctor, both. She trusted him, you know, more than anything, and decided to participate in this experiment that they were doing. So they put like the brainwave cap on her, the finger monitor on her. Seemed super legit. I was like, oh yeah, this seems pretty legit if you have all this equipment. And so basically they made these participants in this experiment watch that, I'm assuming, the same decapitation video.
That's what they were, because they were showing parts of it kind of blurbed out on TV. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to be the exact same video.
That's what my guess was too, because it tied back in. They didn't directly say that, I don't think, but mm-hmm. It was sort of implied. And so they were trying to see how they would react to that. And I was like, why would they do this? I don't quite understand. And so that's kind of where the cult expert came in. And she was saying, well, you're desensitizing these people from later abuse and measuring if they can move to the next level or not. So to not move to the next level, what kind of reaction do you have to have? Because I think that everyone would probably have a pretty distressed reaction. I don't know. I don't know what would tell you that. You know what I mean?
Right. I know. I understand. I think it's just, it makes no sense, but somehow it worked and you would think you would run for the hills. Yet, same thing with the branding. Yeah. You've surpassed this. You were able to endure and watch this horrifying video. You are now a stronger person, therefore a better person, therefore all is well in the world.
It's just so terrible, especially because you can get through it in the moment, but Jen was saying that she has PTSD from the experience. Like, I'm sure that you get nightmares from that. I'm sure that that just creeps into your mind at the most, you know, terrible of times. And so she's, like, scarred for life just because of that, like, complete abuse of power, which I thought was just so awful.
And I thought it was so sad how they were saying that, you know, you're so young and you have such spirit and we just, you know, just pooped all over it.
Yeah, they completely crushed it. Like, you're a different person, I'm assuming, after that and after this whole experience. Luckily, there seems to be some light at the end of the tunnel because they've kind of updated us about the current happenings, what's kind of going on with this cult. So Sarah recently gave an interview with the New York Times to not only expose the world to Nexium, but expose its members to its truths, which I thought was a great thing that she said because, you know, people especially that might just be starting out are probably, you know, the same bright-eyed kind of person that she was starting out. It's like, oh, this is a great self-help thing. And so if they read this expose, they can kind of see all of the horrible stuff that is actually happening and can maybe get out before they get any deeper. And so Keith was recently arrested in Mexico and exonerated to the United States, and he's being charged on sex trafficking and forced labor charges. And both he and Allison Mack could face 15 years to life in prison.
What? I'm sorry, that is not a lot.
I didn't think so either. I was like, 15 years for all of this?
Think of the trauma, the physical pain, but more importantly, the mental abuse. You're striping people away from their future, from their dreams, from their ability to be functional human beings and make rational decisions.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's more than 15 years.
And the charges even, like the sex trafficking and forced labor, but that's it? Like, what about the fact that you basically stole these people's money and you branded these people? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you can legally charge people with anything like that, but it seems like there's more crimes than this, like the three that they mentioned. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I'm not a lawyer, so I'd have to look into that. But it just seems like it wasn't quite enough for my liking anyway. And Sarah talks about how she's still scared that Keith is going to order someone to come and hurt her, which I thought made a lot of sense because with someone like that, with someone with that much following, like, he probably does have the connections to do something like that.
Right. And think about it. He is, even indirectly, if he doesn't there ask people to do anything, people are see him with godlike qualities.
Yeah.
And how dare you go after my God? How dare you do that? How dare now the man whose source of everything that's great in my life is behind bars because of you? Yeah. I'm gonna go after you.
That's true. I just watched a Lifetime movie about cults the other day, and that's exactly what happened. The guy went to jail, but everyone was like, oh, this is a test, right? Like, they sent you to jail, but we're still gonna believe in you. You're telling us that, you know, I'm actually a bad person, but it's a test. You're not actually a bad person. Mm-hmm. And so even if they try to tell their victims that it's, you know, I was lying, like, that doesn't even mean that the victims are gonna believe him because they're so brainwashed by this point. Mm-hmm. It's just terrible. It's just a terrible situation. And Sarah even talked about how she still has a sort of weird sympathy for him, which I thought was interesting.
Right.
And the cult expert kind of mentioned that when reality doesn't align with your beliefs, you'll stick to your beliefs just because it's easier. And even if Sarah doesn't have all of these beliefs, there's still maybe a little part of her kind of lurking in saying that, you know, you should feel bad for him.
Right. I mean, think of it. It's only been, what, 6 months?
Yeah.
Since she's left? 6 months. And she was in this was her whole life for 12 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, as awful as it is, it wasn't all awful. It was right. Portrayed as self-help. Yes. Was it founded on awful things? Yes. But there was some of it that must have been good. There's some of it it was her whole life, makes connections there, makes friends there, builds so many relationships.
Yeah.
And it must be really hard. Thank God she has her husband again to be there for her because. Yeah,
that's so true. At least she's not alone in it.
Yeah.
And so you have some news for us concerning yes. this.
Let's get into some news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Alrighty, so as they mentioned on the show, Allison Mack has actually made bail for $5 million. She is now staying with her parents and she's confined with them. It's unclear of her relationship with them prior to this case, but she is now within their, they're taking care of her and they really have high hopes to get her deprogrammed. There's actually rumors that they have reached out to Steve Hassan, who is a cult expert who's written many books on this whole phenomenon about mind controlling. And he has actually worked with former NXIVM members to figure out how they, their whole experience. And if he's working for with her, hopefully it's going to get her to realize what's actually going on. But yet these rumors are insinuating that she wants no part of it, that she is very, very allied to her, to Keith, who is her partner in crime, who she idolizes more than everything and that she believes is wrongfully in prison. Again, all of this is speculation, but that is what is being put out there, at least. He also, within his researches, Steve Hassan says that he's met several of these ex-members, and they all do have no memory or recollection of their first meeting with Keith. And these meetings typically last between 2 to 4 hours. And most of them don't even remember meeting someone and talking to someone from 2 to 4 hours.
Wow.
So they're not really able to understand why that is. Again, they're thinking it's some kind of bad hypnosis or some type of mind-controlling game. But again, very, very odd that you would have multiple people who do not remember such a lengthy introduction.
Yeah.
So, such craziness there. Another thing that I didn't really mention in the show is that, so he was arrested a week prior to her, mm-hmm. and when they were in Mexico, she was actually there. So there's a picture, if you look up online and you Google, of her just standing there with the sheriff, and they did not nest her right away. So I think it just took, reportedly it took them some time to find enough evidence to figure out what her involvement was in all of this. That's why they didn't get both of them. But at least I'm wondering, during that week, what was in her mind? Because yeah. that's, you know, that's her soulmate, for better lack of word, someone she's really highly tied to. I wonder what was going through her mind, if she's calling different people, trying to figure out what the whole ordeal was. And lastly, she, on Twitter, I highly suggest you just Google this, because there's lots of tweets of women who are coming forward talking about how they almost were approached by her. And she, there's different emails, they have the screenshots of her saying, we should get together and network. It was great meeting you. And it all seems so lovely. And this woman's trying to just have connections, and life happens and these meetings did not happen. And all these women, thankfully, dodge a bullet. But some of the names that were attached to this is people like Kelly Clarkson. Can wow. you imagine Kelly Clarkson?
No. Her platform would just take this to a whole other level. Like, Allison Mack was big, but Kelly Clarkson, I feel like, is on right. an entirely different plane. That could have been...
Emma Watson?
Wow.
Can you imagine our little Harry Potter?
No.
Girl, I just... So thankfully all of these didn't happen. And just... It's interesting also to just go down the... I really urge you again to go down the YouTube rabbit hole, because you... Just to see these tactics that people use, and it's so close to us. This has just all happened within several months ago. It's just astonishing. Lastly, the story we wanted to talk about was an actress from Dynasty. Her daughter is part of the cult as well. She introduced her to the cult, and throughout being part of this cult, she realized, she was like, wait, this is the craziness that's happening. So she tried to remove herself, but her daughter, India, did not want to be part, did not want to leave. So she had this big struggle, and she felt really responsible because she introduced her daughter to this life. She went on Megyn Kelly a year ago, back in November of 2012, just pleading, trying to figure out a solution to get her daughter out of there. So it's been out there that this cult exists, just not enough proof, not enough people coming forward. And so finally we are where we are today. It's unclear where her daughter stands. She was approached by paparazzi and on her way to work, and she just responded that it was impolite to take pictures of someone. And that was her only comment. No comment on the arrest, no comment on the cult, on the validity of the cult, or anything of that nature. So,
wow. Well, thank you so much for that news, and thank you for a great discussion. I think that this was really,
yeah,
really interesting, really sad, but I mean, I'm totally captivated by things like
me
that.
Me too, and again, I cannot stress this enough, how we really want to keep this conversation going, so please do leave a comment, tell us your thoughts, tell us some facts that we haven't talked about, things that you just have found in the grapevine, just let us know.
For sure, and where can everyone find you on social media so we can continue the conversation?
Yeah, you can continue the conversation with me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliette. So bonjour is just hello in French. And Juliette is my name, J-U-L-I-E-T.
Thank you so much. And you guys can find me on Twitter at @alphaba_Anne and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And I think our next show is about Jehovah's Witnesses. So just stay tuned. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel so you won't miss that. So thanks a lot. We'll see you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.